This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 301.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. This episode is part of a series of interviews that I'm doing with inspiring business owners who've made a big shift in their business. So in this episode, you're going to meet Lucy Parsons. So she's an academic coach and she helps young people to not only get the best possible results in their exams, but she also helps them to get in the top universities. So I've been working with Lucy now for, I think it's around 3 years. So she's part of my membership community, the Love Marketing membership. And she's really been with me from the start. And in this episode, she shares that journey. She started off with a vision of she was a school teacher and she wanted to be able to earn her income without working in a school so she could also combine her work with bringing up her young children. And 3 years on, she's now at the stage where she has just launched a membership community. She's got some online programs and things are really, really starting to really kind of skyrocket for her in her business. So in this episode, we talk about that journey. We talk about how I've been able to help her on that journey through the membership and also through some of the live events that she's attended. And I think you're going to find this really, really inspiring. And before I finish, I just want to remind you that you've got just a few days left. If you're listening to this at the time this episode goes live, so that's September 2018, you have just a few days left if you'd like to join Lucy and myself in the membership. If you work with me inside the membership, I'll be able to give you much more personalized, much more tailored advice about how you can improve your marketing so you can bring more money into your business. And I will put a link to the membership in the show notes. But any questions, just drop me a line. I'm on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. If you're a regular listener to the show, you may find that the sound quality on this episode isn't as it normally is, but the content was so good that I just wanted to share this with you. So do stick with it. It is a fantastic episode. Joining me on the show today is Lucy Parsons. So Lucy is an academic coach and I've been working with Lucy for actually so many years, I think, for so many reasons, a year, that I can't actually remember how long we've been working together. I thought it would be really nice to bring Lucy on the show to talk about how she's progressed. I think it's been about 3 years that we've been working together and how her business has changed and what's changed in her marketing. So welcome to the show, Lucy. I'm going to hand straight over to you and get you to give everyone an intro to you.
Hello, Janet. It's great to be here. So yeah, I'm an academic coach, which means I help students with their study skills at GCSE and A-level. So if you're outside the UK, that's the exams that students in the UK take when they're 16 and 18 and enable them to get into university. And I also help with university applications. And I've been doing this for about 3.5 years. So I discovered Janet not very long into that journey. And in that time, I've published a book, I've done lots of one-to-one coaching, I've launched a course, I've done lots of speaking in schools, and I'm just on the verge of launching a membership called the Extraordinaries Club, which is for families. So it's for parents and students, because I found you get the best results when you work with both at the same time.
Okay, so can you talk about where you were when we first met in terms of where you were with your business and what were your biggest challenges at the time?
So I started the business in about March 2015. So I think it must have actually been a little while later that we came across each other, because the first contact I had with you was when I listened to the podcast interview you did with Sarah Newton, which was like 50-something, I think, in your podcast. And so it's a long time ago. And I thought, oh, this sounds really, really good. And I went over to your website and I saw your press release challenge and I signed up for that, because at the time I was just publishing a Kindle book just to really generate leads, really, that was. And so I joined your Facebook group and I said, and I can remember saying something about, you know, how do I get press coverage for this Kindle book? And you were like, well, you need to have an individual spin on this. And I was like, oh, yeah. A bit scary, I don't know how to do that. And then not long after that, you sent out an email. It was within a couple of weeks, I think, announcing Soulful PR Live, which you've now rebranded to Media Influence Live. And I was like, oh, this sounds amazing. And I was like, I looked at my bank account and I was like, I can just about afford to do that. And I signed up to do that. And then at almost exactly the same time, you launched the first iteration of your membership. And the launch price, it was just too good to refuse. So I was like, yes, jump on that bandwagon too. And yeah, just so much good has come from it. And I think the first really big win I had was when I came along to Soulful PR Live the first time and heard Phil Palin speak, who you've interviewed twice. And I worked with him and he kind of gave me the direction to rebrand the website that I have now is the result of working with him. And then the day after Soulful PR Live, I actually got a piece in The Telegraph and there was nobody there speaking about from The Telegraph, but I think it was Adam Comiskey from the Today programme who'd given me the steer that you need to be like doing comment pieces and things. And it was just at the time, it was just after that general election in 2015 when the Tories were having a leadership battle and Michael Gove had put himself forward in front of Boris Johnson and it was all a bit like student politics and I'd been very involved in student politics at university. So at 4 o'clock the next morning after being at your event all day the day before, I was like, I've got this idea. And I just couldn't stay in bed and I went down and pitched it. And by 10 o'clock, so within 6 hours, I'd had a reply from the Telegraph and they published my piece about student politics and Tory leadership elections in their paper, which wasn't relevant at all to anything that I was doing in my business. But it was, you know, I got the Telegraph on my...
And there's quite a few interesting points there about getting press coverage, isn't there? Like, so first off, Soulful PR Live, it's now, this year it was Media Influence Live. Next year, who knows, it could be different, but... But basically, it's the event that I do every year where I get journalists from high-profile publications and radio and TV programs to come along and talk about what they're looking for. And it's kind of interesting because people often come along and they think, oh, brilliant, I'll get to meet that particular journalist and I'll be able to follow up with them. And sometimes that happens, but sometimes it's just that actually, like you say there, Adam Comiskey, who's from Radio 4, is now actually on tonight. He's now on Newsnight. He's now moved, but he gave you a little tip that just inspired you to think about something else and to get a result that quick, like in 24 hours, to go off and actually kind of make it happen is amazing. But I guess sort of understanding what journalists are looking for and how to pitch, that was kind of like your first big win. And you came in the membership actually when I first started the membership. I think this is what I would suggest anyone else doing a membership would do is actually you need to get your critical mass of people inside the membership. So you offer a really, really, I think you used the phrase like, I don't know, it was a no-brainer. You couldn't say that. So you offer a really good price, get your first tranche of people in and you kind of reward them by giving them that price. And I've got members who are still on that price. I've still got
me.
You're still on that like price that they came in on, which is fair enough, which is a reward for being there at start. And so you started off, obviously you came for help with press coverage because that was my sort of specialism. I mean, it's still kind of my specialism, but obviously I've broadened out since then. And what happened from there? I mean, what your challenge there, I remember you being really keen on getting press coverage and what you said there, and you said, oh, well, it's great, you know, just be able to say that I've got something in the Telegraph. It's good for your credibility. How have things kind of changed for you since then in terms of your priorities for your business?
So I suppose the next thing that you really helped me with was it's another book. But I originally self-published it as a PDF on my website and a publisher approached me and asked if they could publish it as a real book, you know, a paper version of a book. So I really wanted to launch that really, really well. And I myself, from what I learned from you, got that featured in all sorts of relevant publications that I researched myself and pitched and all that kind of thing. But you really, really helped me with pitching The Telegraph. So there was a space in The Telegraph on a Thursday that I thought was perfect. And I got the book in there. And as a result of that placement, the book got to the very, very temporarily got to the 106th bestseller on Amazon just for a few hours, which was amazing, out of like 1.8 million books or something. And it was selling really, really well. And the publisher kept increasing the number of copies that are going to be printed because of the number of pre-orders and all that kind of thing. And then suddenly there was this influx of interest in my private coaching. So what was interesting about that piece of press coverage was that it sold lots of books, but the books really didn't make me very much money at all. But it was the influx of people interested in the coaching as a result of the book. And I think that taught me a lot. You know, I probably, this is a rough estimate, but directly off the back of that one article, I probably made £2,500, £3,000. Okay. Which I mean, is the most I've ever made off the back of a piece of press coverage. But I also, on the day that article was published, I got 60 new signups to my email list. But those people, I haven't been back and tracked them, but that's an ongoing relationship with them. And I think what I really learned about press, and I think this is what you talk about all the time, is that it's a momentary thing. You need to capitalize on it when it happens, but you won't make very much money from it, probably. You know, £3,000 isn't going to pay the bills for a whole year. And I remember somebody coming to me lately asking about how I got the press coverage that I got. And because they were looking at working with a PR company, and they were going to charge £60,000 a year or something. I was like, well, I don't think you're going to get payback on that. It's just not going to happen. And so I think what I've learned is that all that is, it's really about link building and getting your SEO better and linking back to all the blog posts and all that kind of thing that you have on your own website. But that's something that I've been doing really well right from the get-go. You know, until very recently, I blogged or podcasted almost every single week for over 3 years. And I've only taken a break this summer because I've run out of steam, basically. I was a little bit burnt out. Mm. And I'll be restarting again in the autumn. But, you know, I got all that content on there, and all of that was building relationships with people. And, you know, it's what you talk about, that when you get that press coverage, people come in to your world and then they stick around. Like, there's one lady who's in my Facebook group who saw an article that I wrote at the time of the launch of my book on quite a niche education publication. And she's been in my Facebook group now for knocking on probably at 18 months or even longer than that. And she comments and likes practically every single post that I put out there. And her daughter is still too young to access any of the stuff that I do, but she's like one of my mega fans. And so that's kind of the power of the press and then getting them into your world. And that's one of the big things. Yeah,
it's funny because before we got onto this call, I was just talking about the fact I'm flying out to Boston tomorrow to go and speak at Inbound, and I'll be working on my talk. And at the beginning of this talk, it's about how to get media coverage and how to get media famous without like really trying is the kind of headline for this one. And I was talking about, for me, there's like three reasons to get press. So the first one is what you're talking about, building authority. I agree that you're probably not going to make loads of money. I mean, you get the occasional lucky person who makes loads of sales, and but for most people, you either have to do it a lot, or, you know, you just have to accept that it's going to be good for authority and people kind of seeing you as that go-to person. It's good for getting speaking gigs. It's good for publishers spotting you and things like that. The traffic thing is huge. So I've got a couple of pieces I've written for The Guardian, one on how to write a press release for a journalist, one on how to get press for your small business, one on how to write a pitch. Not my finest days in journalism, but they send, you know, they're the top of that search term for Google. I've written those articles for my own blog, and they're just above mine, but that's fine because The Guardian's got a bigger readership than me. But I get leads and sales from those articles, those inbound links, every single day. And I think you've got to remember that as well, that if you're getting link backs from high, you know, authority sites, then that's really valuable as well. But it's probably not going to have it's not going to be like an immediate impact. But I look at those articles and they're still sending me traffic and sales 3 years later. And, you know, it's a bit more difficult to track because it's not my site, but it's still kind of worth doing it. But like you say, I mean, I say this all the time, but the content that I've created, my own blog content, my own podcast content, I think, you know, on balance, it's probably been a lot more powerful in terms of building my audience and helping me to make money in my business.
Definitely.
If people are kind of thinking, oh, you know, should I work with Lucy or not? You know, should I go with somebody else? But they see that you've been featured in The Telegraph. They see that you've been featured in these high profile publications. I guess it's kind of worth it from that point of view as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, it just looks good, doesn't it? You know, I've got along my website, I mean, I've got the BBC because I think the first webinar of yours I ever attended, you told me about the journal request hashtag, and I looked on there and one of the first things I saw was this request from the BBC about people, I think it was about finding your work really boring. And so I got featured in that article, and that was front, like, about a way, way previous job. And then as a result of that article, I was featured on the Slack podcast, and somebody actually came up from London to my house in the Midlands to interview me for that podcast. But I've got the BBC News online website. I've got the Telegraph. I wrote an article for The Independent this time last year about A-level results. So I've got The Independent. And on the back of that, I was interviewed on BBC Radio 5 Live. So, you know, I've got some quite impressive names. But I haven't actually done very much. So I've got those tags, and actually I don't feel the need to do very much more, because I know that the day-to-day marketing that I've done in my business is actually what's driving the information. Yeah. But it's, I think you talked about before your event this year about those brand names being like a testimonial, and I've got them across the front page on my website, and they're doing their job.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, I don't think you need to do loads of it, but I think if people see that you've been featured, it's like, you know, if the BBC thinks what Lucy's got to say is important enough to put her on Five Live, and that was quite a long interview you did as well, wasn't it? They had you on quite a long time. Then other people think, well, she must know what she's talking about. You know, she you know, must be an expert, and it gives you that kind of credibility. So in terms of, you mentioned that you've blogged and podcasted like consistently, and obviously from the time that I've met you, I know that that's been important. And just to add as well, I think you were able to, people sometimes say to me, you know, in a membership community, how am I able to help them? Well, you were able to bring some of your pitching dilemmas. We have a Wednesday afternoon office hour, and you were able to bring some of those pitching dilemmas and just ask me, and I was able to give you feedback on live on the call. And you know, for some people, being part of a membership community, they want to be in there all the time, they want to be consuming content all the time, but for some people, just being able to access somebody and go and get that kind of feedback, which is certainly how I feel you've kind of used it.
Yeah, when I turn up to an office hour, you're always like, oh, Lucy's here, she wants to.
Yeah, Lucy's got a question. And yeah, but that's really helpful, and I'm really happy for people to use the membership like that. You know, if they want to come and, you know, every 3 months and ask me like one question, I can really help. You know, that could be worth somebody's whole membership, you know, being able to get that sort of steer on a pitch or, you know, a piece of content or a launch or whatever, that, you know, could totally kind of be game changing for somebody. So I'm more than happy for people to use a membership like that if that's how it works for them. So you blogged and podcasted regularly, and I mean, for me, it feels like you've just grown in confidence. I remember you came to one office hour when you had a launch, and I think we gave you a bit of support and feedback for a launch that you were having. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so it was this time last year, and I was launching my first online course, and I think it was like, I actually looked up all the figures and all the dates and everything before we had this, before we got on this call. And so I think the launch closed on the 16th of September 2017, and I'd, you know, created this sales page, I'd created this really lean product, like using the advice that you gave me. I didn't build it until people had bought it, and used the tools that I already had in my arsenal rather than building websites and all that kind of stuff. But I started, you know, talking about in my newsletter and all this kind of thing, and nobody was buying, and I was just like, what's wrong? Because I was convinced that this thing, you know, there was a demand for it. And so I came along to the office hours, and I was just like, what's going on here? And the first question I remember you asked me was, have you actually told them that it's available to buy? And I was like, I thought I had. But then when I went back and looked through the emails, I was like, actually, I haven't made that explicit. And at the time, I think you'd been launching Soulful PR for Starters. And I looked back at the emails that you'd been sending, and the email that you sent when it was available to buy was just so clear that this is what it is. Now it's available to buy. Click here. I was like, okay, that's the first thing I'm going to do. And then you just kind of talked about just being everywhere and doing everything you possibly could. So I think I had about a week, just over a week from that, maybe 10 days, because the office hour was on a Wednesday and the launch closed the following Friday. So yeah, about 9-10 days. I think I did 4 Facebook Lives on my Facebook page that day. I think I emailed my list every single day. And on the last day of the launch, I emailed 3 times in the day. At that point in time, I threw everything at it that I could. Oh, I blogged as well, like you teach people to blog about the kind of key questions and key objections that they had. So I think two days after the call, I got my first sale, and that was on the back of the first Facebook Live I did. So somebody who I'd never heard of watched that Facebook Live and bought it within like half an hour. And then like over the next few days, like the next 2 days later, I got 2 sales. This was, and then 2 days later, the next day, I got another 2 sales, then 1 sale a day, and for 3 days. And then on the closing day, I got 11 sales. So I got a total of 18 sales, and 11 of those came in on the final day. And I think what you told me as well was, you know, just hold your nerve. And I'm not very good at holding my nerve. I hate it. I hate uncertainty and all that kind of thing. But I did just hold my nerve and I just threw everything at it that I possibly could. You know, it was a really, really big moment in my business because it proved that I could go beyond the one-to-one model and really scale what I had to offer. And that, if, I think for me, that was even bigger than maybe it is for some other types of coaches, because my audience is only available to work with in the evenings. And so basically the whole time I've been doing this, I've been working three evenings a week and I've got young children and all this kind of thing. And it's really tough doing that. So that was the first taste that I could maybe have a kind of slightly more sustainable way of working. And so I relaunched the course again the following January, so January 2018. And that time I threw in a webinar as well as all the things that I'd done on the first launch, and I sold 10 more places on the course. So I got 28, and that was at, I'd raised the price then as well. So
what you raised it from and to, so what price were you?
So the first time around I charged 195, and the second time around I charged 245 for early bird, then 295 for people who bought it at the, you know, in the last couple of weeks or so. And I think I sold 13 at 245 and 16 at 295.
Okay, so, but it sounds like the biggest learning points for you there, I mean, I kind of say this all the time, this is learned through years of like experimentation, is that you have to send far more emails than you think that you need to send. You have to kind of be talking about it to a point where you feel uncomfortable because you think you're talking about it all the time, but actually half the time everybody's just getting on with their life and they don't care that much. And you have to remind people, and I mean, I think I said to you at the time, people always buy at the last minute. Like whenever I do any launch, whatever, I'll always get emails from people, so that we often make the deadline midnight. And I can guarantee I'll wake up in the morning with five emails. People go, oh my God, I missed the deadline. Is there any chance that I could just get in? And could you make an exception for me? Which is why, you know, I've created like a lot of content telling people that that won't happen. So, and what I think is really interesting, because I just had a podcast episode on passive income, the truth about passive income. And essentially what you're starting to create now is a passive income product, something that's going to not be passive for you, but you've done a lot of the work up front.
It's more scalable.
Yeah, it's more scalable. It's going to be some delivery time, but actually it means that you're going to hopefully be less exhausted. But that's taken you a long time, isn't it? And in my passive income episode, I'm really interested to actually see what you think about this. Like I basically said, passive income, personally, I don't think there is such a thing as truly passive income, because a lot of work happens to build the audience, a lot of work has to happen to actually build the products and to build the programs itself and to kind of learn as well. Like each launch you do, you learn things and you get better and you learn what's worked and your big audience gets bigger and there's so many things that go on. And it's really interesting that I've had a lot of feedback about this episode from people saying, thank you so much for saying that. It makes me feel so much better. Because for me, like you're a real high flyer. Like you're somebody that I've watched like all along, who you totally like, whatever's going on, you're there, you're learning, you're trying it out. You're not, you know, you're a really capable person and you're a real high flyer, I would say, from all the people I work with. It feels like it's still taking you time. To understand what works, to build your audience, to like tweak things, to test, and would you say that's how it looks from the outside? Is that, would that you say that's your experience?
Yeah, and you know, I love to learn. You know, that's partly why I do what I do. But I love to learn, and I've just soaked everything up for years now. I had an Etsy shop before I started doing this, when I was kind of in my nesty phase with my small children. And I started learning about all this stuff then. So really, when I started this business, I was off to a much more flying start than I would have been if I hadn't done that. But even then, I didn't know how to sell coaching. And, you know, I started marketing to students rather than to parents. And I, you know, I probably made about, well, that first version of my book, the PDF version, I think I sold just over £1,000 worth in just over a year. You know, I wasn't making any money at all, and I was learning all the time and trying to implement strategies and all that kind of thing. I think the one thing I would caveat this with is that I think I might have made faster progress if it wasn't for the academic year, because a lot of what I offer has to fit into the academic calendar. Mm-hmm. And you just can't sell something at a time when people don't need it. And so it's like with my membership, I'm launching that in the next few weeks to coincide with the beginning of the academic year. Now, I couldn't have done that in July even if I'd wanted to, because everybody was going off on holiday and couldn't have cared less about learning how to study. So maybe my progress would have been accelerated slightly if that had been different, but it definitely wouldn't be very much faster.
And I think also part of it's just understanding that, isn't it? When you understand your market, like you say, you started trying to market to students, then you thought, well, actually, it's the parents that are the purse holders here. I'm going to have to work with them as well. And part of that is just understanding the cycle, isn't it? I mean, I look back, you know, I was talking on that passive income episode about my first online course. I think I sold about 20 or something like that of my first online course. And then I sold hundreds the second time. But if I hadn't had that first launch, I was really pleased with it because I was like, oh, I've sold a course. That's brilliant. Like, no, I understand how to sell to people. I understand how to sell one to many. I've got people who want to buy it. But it was only by doing that and maybe getting a few things wrong and learning as you go. And I still think, you know, I'm always learning things all the time, always looking at other people, see what they're doing and learning from them. And I do feel like, you know, as I say, you're a real high flyer, you've done so many things right, but it's still taking you time to find your feet, to understand your market. I mean, that in itself, to understand your market, to understand what they need, when they need it, all of that just sort of takes
time. And for me, that was a big mindset thing as well, because I felt like I really understood the students because I'd been in their shoes. But for a long time, what held me back was, you know, who am I to tell parents of teenagers how to cope, manage their children, you know, through these really tricky years? And it was a really big thing for me to put myself in front of them and basically give them advice, but they love it now. And I kicked myself because I didn't do it sooner, but that was a really big thing. You know, I've got small children. I had really small children when I started doing this, and I just couldn't see how I had the credibility to tell these parents who've been doing it for like 15 years how to do their job as a parent. But I think that's a big thing about belief, and, you know, believing that that you have got something to offer, but also about how to communicate that so that you're not crowing over people, you know, on a level. And I don't really know how to explain how I do that, but I've found a way to communicate with them where they don't think that I'm telling them how to, you know, telling my grandmother how to crack eggs.
It takes time to find your voice, doesn't it? One quick thing I wanted to ask you about, I want to talk about your membership, but one quick thing I wanted to ask you about was about investment. So you're somebody that I've seen who does make very good use of free resources and has made great use of free resources, but you've also invested in some key things. What I'd be really interested to find out is what have been, because I know I've spent money on courses and programs that have been brilliant, I've spent money on courses that have been awful, and investments, and I see that as part of my development as well, learning where to spend my money and when. What have been positive investments for you, and what would you maybe have done differently in the past?
Oh, well, I've bought all sorts.
I don't mean in the past. I mean, if you had your time again, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I've bought all sorts of courses, complete waste of money. And, you know, I've barely opened them and really regret it. But then I've bought some things that have been really influential on the way that I see and do things. So, for example, I did B School right when I was starting this. And I knew quite a lot of the stuff that was in B School, but the way it's structured, it's really, really logical. And it just gave me that outline for how online business works. And it was a lot of money. I already knew quite a lot of the stuff, but I just love the fact that I've got that structure inside my head that gave to me. I think then, I think joining your membership community is honestly probably the best investment that I've made.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Lucy. I'm not paying you.
No, you're not paying me. Nothing at all. Well, you have paid me because you've helped me make a lot of money. But I think the community I love because of the kind of people you attract, and everybody's so supportive. And just the learning, like, it's things like my Facebook posts. I now, it's like social media posts, people interact with them, whereas they probably would never have done if I hadn't learned from you. And the money that I've made and all that kind of stuff, it's just been really, really a really positive thing. And there's a couple of books that I read. Actually, one of them you recommended is the You Are a Badass at Making Money. The name of it, I hate the name.
Yeah,
it's such a brilliant book. And, you know, if you've got any qualms about asking people for the sale, read that book. And the 4-hour work week actually had quite an influence on me. And, you know, these books are cheap, so, you know, if you haven't got a big budget, go and pick them up. And I've literally just joined the membership, guys. You know, I listened to your interview with Mike Morrison way back, and I joined like less than 2 weeks ago, and I've literally been devouring their technical training on setting up my membership. So those are some of the things.
I think I'm a member. I don't use it very much, I have to say, because I'm probably a bit further along. But I mean, Mike is brilliant on Mike Morrison, and his partner Kelly, they run it together, membership guys, and they're brilliant. And it's that technical training as well. Like, they've got technical training on setting membership sites up for a number of different types of provider that you might use. But there is nothing that Mike doesn't know about memberships. And I've had like loads of really, I was out in the Philippines at Tropical Think Tank with him, and like over breakfast, I was just like asking him, what do you do if your members do this? And how can you help your members do that? And he's, you know, he's really, really great. Obviously, being in my membership, it's changed an awful lot. And so I've just relaunched it. And I don't know if I had a chance to have a look in the back of the site.
I haven't. I've been so heads down on getting my stuff done.
Because it's like, completely different. I started off, I mean, and I share this to sort of like encourage people, but I started off on Teachable, and it wasn't ideal because it's somebody else's way of putting a course together, but it's kind of logical. Then I had the challenge of like pulling everyone off Teachable and then trying to put them in the back of my website. And although it worked from it was kind of good from a membership point of view, but it was never very easy to navigate the content, and people are always asking questions about it. And I've recently just invested a huge investment to have it all kind of made, and you can now find everything much more easily. Everything's organized in terms of income goals, 1K a month, 2K a month, 5K, 10K a month, but also through topic or whatever. But I probably wouldn't change things just because, I mean, I know now you're embarking on a membership, because when you're starting something, you don't know if it's going to work. You know, spending $5,000 on a membership, that's probably not a good idea. It's probably better to keep it simple and, you know, just kind of like do the best you can with what you've got. So tell us about your plans, just to finish up, tell us about your plans for your membership then.
So what I've done, because the course, I ran it really successfully twice last year, and I got great feedback, and the students have had great exam results this time around. But the one thing I kind of really felt that people wanted was more continuous support from me. So rather than just for the 8 weeks of the course, they wanted more continuous support. And the other thing was, I think they kind of had trouble kind of keeping up with it a little bit, the pace of the content. I was really careful to only give them an hour's worth of stuff per week to do. But even so, you know, alongside schoolwork and revision and all that kind of thing, it was difficult for them. So I thought, well, how do I solve that problem for people? And the other thing was the affordability, because I used to teach in state schools and I care a lot about education, and I want people to be able to access working with me whilst I'm also, you know, earning a decent living for myself. And so the kind of membership model, it kind of enables me to deal with all of those problems, because, you know, that if they want to, they can sign up for the whole year and get my support for the entire year. Or they, and the plan is I'm going to run the course within the membership live twice a year, but people can start it and dip into it whenever they want. So they could just join for the duration of the course. You know, it's going to be after the launch price will be $32.50 per month for monthly membership, and then it's going up to £35 per month for after the launch phase. So, you know, they can just dip into it for a month if what they want to. And one of the things I did last year was lots of paid webinars live. They were revision workshops, and I did an exam technique masterclass as well, and I charged £35 a time for those. And so, you know, the members are going to get those for free, as many as they want and need. And if people just want to come to one of those, they're going to have to join the membership, pay £35, and then cancel at the end of the month if they don't want it anymore. But hopefully they'll come in, like it, love the support, want to dive into all the materials, and they'll want to stay. So it really deals with all those problems. And it just kind of takes my word of the year this year was to go pro. So, you know, get all my accounting and legal and all that kind of stuff properly sorted. And this just takes the delivery of the course materials on its own website and all that stuff to a more professional level as well.
So. Well, that sounds really good. And just one last thing, in terms of your income, so not having to get specific if you don't want to, but in terms of percentage-wise, how much has your income grown over the last few years, and what are you hoping for the next 3 to 5 years? I know you said, you know, oh, I like made £1,000 on this book to start off with, and
I think I don't know the exact figures. I'm rubbish with figures, but the so that first book, you know, I was lucky if I made a tenner a week, and I worked out when I finally took it down from sale, I've made about £1,000 from it. When I came along to that first Media Influence Live, I just had my first proper paid speaking gig, and they paid me, I think, £1,000 for 2 days speaking, and you know, you took most of that ticket from. but now I mean this year is going to definitely be in excess of 50, and hopefully, you know, it depends how this launch goes, really.
And I think, you know, £50,000 a year when you've got young children, and like, I mean, like many of the people who belong to membership as well, they're balancing their career around, you know, I am as well, you know, about taking kids to school, picking them up to school, not necessarily having a full working day. That's, I mean, it's pretty good, isn't it? And for you, it's meant not having to go back to the classroom, because you were a classroom teacher, you didn't want to do that. So it's given you that freedom, although it's tough, you know, it's hard. It's given you that freedom to work in a way that suits you better.
It is a very different challenge, but yeah, it does give me that wonderful freedom and to be here for my kids, which is what I really wanted. And hopefully the plan is that I'm going to be able to let my husband off the hook with his career and let him have a bit of the freedom that I've had over the last 8 years. Yeah. With the kids. Yeah. So yeah,
he's going to join you. Is that the plan? He's going to come.
No, oh God, we tried that once before. Nightmare. but yeah, we're not suited to that. But I'd just like to pay him back, you know, because he's gone to work religiously in his corporate job every day since I had, you know, our first child, and I've had this kind of freedom to kind of tinker and experiment and do all that and build this and learn over time. And he hasn't put any pressure on me at all, and I'd just like to be able to pay him back. And he's great with the kids as well. And I'd just like to give him that chance to spend a bit more time.
Oh, that's fab. It's really good to hear that you come from, you know, some making tenner a week to 50,000. That's a great story. And one last thing. So what tips would you have for someone in your shoes? Because obviously there's lots of people who listen to the podcast who are either just starting their business or they're just in the early stage. And I'm realizing I've got more and more beginners actually in my audience. What would be your like top tips for, you know, for making the kind of progress that you've made, but even maybe learning from some of the mistakes that you feel you've made?
I think my biggest tips would be to, this is something I didn't do, but it's something that I've learned from you, is to go out and find your customers, like by like talking to them and saying, finding people in your own existing network. That's how to find your first customers. Then in terms of the kind of online stuff, email every single week. Yeah, literally every single week with a piece of content and something that's for sale. And if you do that, you will start making sales. You'll start building relationships with your audience, and it will come.
Fab. Well, thank you so much, Lucy. I hope it's going to be really, really inspiring for people to hear your story and your journey. And yeah, good luck with the membership launch.
Thank you so much, Janet. Thank you for everything.
Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to join myself and Lucy in the Love Marketing membership, I will include a link in the show notes. If you're listening to this in the future and you've missed the open week, then don't worry. If you put your name on the waiting list, then we'll let you know as soon as we're open again.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.